Welcome to DC. You know where you're at, the USA cap. You're taking a smiley, I'm taking a smiley. By George, this tournament has been lit. Can't say there's been any upsets, but, you know, today's games were awesome. The first game came down, you know, to the stretch.
There have been two upsets, actually. UMass beating LaSalle and then Davidson beating St. Bonaventure.
Two one-seed line upsets. Yeah.
Right. Yep. Excuse me, Jones. I apologize.
Just saying.
But I did need to be corrected. Nothing too crazy, but the games today were tons of fun. Of course, we got Petey Buckets back in studio. He's been covering us on giantkiller.co, live blogging. I hope you've been reading it. Also has been sharing on the boards, which is actually saw a lot of activity in the last couple of days. So, you know, full team effort here at the tournament this year. You won't hear him because he's never the guy behind the microphone, but we have Ronnie taking pictures all tournament long for us. And so I just want to, you know, kind of thank the whole Giant Killer team. Even David from, you know, behind the curtains is making videos and producing content. But let's get back to today's games. First game, St. Joe's versus Rhode Island. Petey, what did you see?
First of all, what an awesome game. I think that St. Joe's plays a pretty similar style to Davidson. They don't do it as well, but St. Joe's plays those two. They always have two bigs on the floor, and those bigs can step out and hit threes for them. Anthony Longpre, Taylor Funk, and Pierre Francesco Oliva, I think they call him Checo, they were all hitting threes today, and I think that had Rhodey a little bit out of sorts in the first half, because when you have to extend your defense that far and pull your bigs out of the paint, then, you know, it opens up room for the guards to drive. And Davidson can do pretty much everything that St. Joe's did today, except they can do it a whole lot better. So I think that Rhode Island's in some trouble tomorrow, and Davidson plays a style that is very conducive to actually beating them. So, you know, I think we'll see a good one tomorrow. And, you know, I think that St. Joe's, I don't know if I'd say they have the blueprint for beating Rhode Island, but they definitely showed that Rhode Island is a little bit vulnerable, particularly to a team that shoots really well from deep.
Yeah, and you know, watching the game, and not to take us into a silly topic.
Oh boy!
If you have his name on hand, Petey, I'm going to be sized. The guy that rocked the shorts tucked in to his.
That's Taylor Funk. Yeah.
Taylor Funk.
I noticed that all game from the baseline.
He tucks his real shorts into his compression shorts.
And it blows my mind. And the entire arena is screaming, you know, untuck your shorts.
Yeah, people are telling him, pull his shorts down.
It's so ugly. But, you know, from the game, what I saw, I mean, I think you're right. I think.
he likes a nice breeze on his thighs.
Yeah. I mean, it's just one side.
Hot take from the game.
here's what Brian saw.
We got enough people talking about the game.
Sure.
But no, you know, it was definitely super interesting because, you know, I thought Rhode Island was done.
Yep.
And they just kept fighting.
What was the actual difference at one point? St. Joe's was
11
up.
Points.
11
so
points.
It was 47-40 at the half, and St. Joe's scored the first 4 points at a halftime. So
yeah, they came out super hot. Like I thought like Rhode Island would have to, you know, show something early in the second half. The guy Barry did kind of carry them through the first half.
Barry, yeah, cooled down in the second, but yeah.
Barry, with the carry.
I mean, some people would say that, you know, without him, you know, what would they have had? But I think what really kind of stood out and what people kind of talked about in the presser was just, you know, Downton just kind of two games in a row just taking over, hitting threes, getting to the bucket. He's super athletic and long on defense.
And he's young, sophomore.
Right.
DMV product.
Problem for, you know, years to come, obviously.
Right. He hit a clutch late three, which pretty much sealed the game. St. Joe's made like a few last desperation threes, which went in and... but I do think like one last factor that played a big part in the win was the Rhode Island crowd seemed to just, they always had energy. The players were kind of feeding off of it. And it was just far more substantial than the St. Joe's crowd. So
you could tell they're the one seed.
Yeah.
Those fans didn't show up 2 years ago like that. Kind of winning it last year.
And they were in the championship game
them.
Last year. Yeah.
Right.
And they were closer to Brooklyn as well. So
right. It definitely wasn't the same crowd.
Yeah,
it's good for the A-10 that Davidson beat Bonaventure today, because now the A-10 can get three teams in, because Bonnie's comfortably in, Rhode Island's comfortably in, so if Davidson wins, there's your third bid. But for the purposes of the crowd tomorrow, Bonnie's and Rhode Island game would have been awesome.
So that was kind of your first experience seeing the Bonaventure really crowd. Well. What did you see from them? Because when we were in Brooklyn...
So we're just segueing into the next game.
I apologize, right. because Newkirk did get hurt, and so
we got to talk about that.
And that was pretty massive, because it was right during their kind of, you know, they had to do a little comeback of their own. He was trying to play through it. We both saw him go down, and you know, I don't know if they were really productive once they lost him. And I believe Petey asked Martelli.
Yeah.
And I'd like to hear.
No, you asked Newkirk specifically, like how you were.
Well, both of them. So, I think he asked him.
Yeah, so I asked a couple questions. First, I'm just sort of living the dream, going into these pressers and pretending to be a reporter.
Dream is alive.
Asking, you fake it till you make it, right?
Yeah, I mean, you had four years of college experience, yeah, right, in journalism.
I do from George Mason, right? Very, very esteemed school. But so Shavar Newkirk, I just asked him. You know, he tweaked his ankle first, and then he actually came back out and played before he went to the bench for good with, I think, just under 2 minutes left. And yeah, he said he just tried to play through it. It got worse to the point where he couldn't play.
He hobbled into the presser, by the way.
Well, he hobbled into the presser, and I think I tweeted right before he went out. I think I tweeted that he clearly wasn't okay.
He pulled himself out.
Because you could see him. And you could see him, I think he tried to make a cut. I forget exactly what he was doing, but he tried to make a cut, and you could see his legs just wasn't there, and it gave out. So
theme in this tourney? You saw Watanabe go out in one game. We saw Hines go down with a dislocated shoulder. Oof, we saw, you know, right. Kind of a...
St. Bonaventure guy.
That's
didn't
a lot of
today.
Injuries for a few games, right?
Yeah, and he hurt his knee today. Yeah, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just...
The A-10 is breaking
maybe
down.
It's just
or
random.
The Verizon Center.
Maybe it's luck.
Court.
Maybe probably not the Verizon Center's court, but maybe it might be.
It's too damn cold.
Get the
well it's also
that's no lie.
It's freezing in there. But yeah, you know, it's the two games in a row setting is interesting too. And
I do
maybe
wish there was a little break. Two games, yeah. But today, though, specifically.
No, I mean right. Like Bonaventure played yesterday, right. And then they played today. St. Joe's played yesterday, then they played today. Both have guys who get hurt. Maybe that means something. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know.
So Rhode Island won. I think we all probably predicted them to win. I didn't think it was going to be that close. St. Joe's gave it a game. They
I
played
thought it was
well
gonna
all
be
three.
A good game. Yeah.
They played well yesterday. They played well today.
Rhode Island actually shot a whole lot more from three than they like to. So I think they took 68 field goal attempts. 31 of those were threes. That's not really their game.
They shot 31 threes?
They were 14 for 31 from three, which is way better than they usually shoot. That's how St. Joe's got them the first time. St. Joe's plays that pretty tight, packed-in 2-3 zone. They want to make teams jump shooters, and Rhode Island is not a great jump shooting team. We talked about it on our last pod. That's kind of their Achilles heel. Not many teams are good enough to exploit it, but if you can make roadies shoot, you'll have a chance usually. So, you know, St. Joe's played a great game, and they executed a great game plan. And Rhode Island, I think, just shot a lot better from three than they usually do. With Fats Russell came off the bench and hit a few great ones, hit a few, like, really huge ones. Jeff Doughton hit that three that we talked about, which was just real onions, I think. They were only...
Hold on. The onion stuff, that's been going on all year long, and I've had to ask.
Onions, like, Boyd!
You, onions, Mark, man. Where did this come from? It's like, seems
you
like it's
know?
Like... No, please explain.
Onions, dude. Bill Rafferty.
Oh, okay.
Bill Rafferty. Okay. Yeah, when he hit a big shot at the end, he goes, onions!
Okay.
So,
all right. Because I'm like, damn, this thing is really picking up this year. Is that a this year term? Is that
no,
like...
No.
Okay, break it down.
Rafferty's been saying that forever.
Got it.
To bring it back to the game, though, and specifically the post-game presser, I know that, you know, Petey's in love with Phil Martelli. What did you hear from him specifically that gets you psyched? Because I think like, we all love his like genuine answers, right?
He's so genuine. I would love Phil Martelli to volunteer to be my grandpa or something like that. He's got an edge to him in the pressers where he's trying to give you really good answers, but he's actually thinking, and you can see a lot of coaches just sort of go through the coach speak. They sort of attribute everything to just effort or
like
hustle or stuff like that.
But when I listen to him though, I like fully understand like how he gets like recruits. Like he can talk his way into getting a recruit. Like there's a
Martelli. He also there was somebody asked him a question, not today, but somebody asked him a question yesterday, and he actually paused and thought about it for 10 or 15 seconds before he gave an answer. So I think he's not just trying to regurgitate the same old coach speak. And the answer that he gave me today that I really loved was, I asked him how not having Newkirk for the last 2 minutes of the game in a close game changed his end of game strategy. And he thought about it and he said, I forget what his exact quote was, but he basically said that the whole next man up philosophy that you hear about a lot in sports is bullshit. They don't have another
in professional sports because you have like a million-dollar backup, right?
And for the purposes of St. Joe's basketball team, they don't have another Shavar Newkirk. They don't have anybody on the bench who can do what Shavar Newkirk can do. And it was the same thing when they were missing Demery for a few games this year. They don't have anybody on the bench who can do the same thing that those guys do. So
they also did have a lot of energy or a lot of injuries. So I mean, it's tough. It's like, you know,
Martelli's done an awesome job. Hurley actually said that in his postgame presser that his vote for coach of the year was Phil Martelli.
Which
just
I thought
because
was pretty cool insight.
It was cool. And you know, Phil Martelli's got a case because St. Joe's was good despite not having Charlie Brown all season long and despite losing Lamar Kimball after the first game. They had to plug a lot of different people into roles that they're not used to.
And so you also shared that stat in the previous podcast about how they're, 7-2 in one possession games? Or, sorry, 2-7. Or they lost X amount of games. You know,
they had the most unlucky team. They had terrible luck in one possession games this season.
It's conceivable, like, if you know, the coin goes the other way, you know, you're looking at a team that could have, like,
St. Joe's was 10-8 in conference, but they had a point differential closer to probably 12-6 or 13-5. I thought, you know, obviously I was bummed that.
I mean, that's as good as a second seed, right?
And it still would have been four, but obviously it was good. You know, I was bummed that Mason didn't get the four seed, but I thought
it didn't really seem like a four seed.
I thought
and
that
St.
Joe's
said that
was the right four seed.
He said we earned it. He's like, a lot of people say we limped into it, but you know.
It's weird how, like, the whole shakedown went, too, with, like, the seeding. You know, there was a log jam and all that. But you're looking at the tournament, and everybody seems to be appropriately seeded, right?
Yep.
I mean, it was just
it's
perfect.
It's been such a chalk tournament, which is just wild to me, because I think that, you know, I think that if I was going to make a prediction coming into the tournament, I would have thought that the first couple of days would be wild before the chalk takes over.
Right.
Because the top four teams were just so much better than the rest of the conference all throughout the season. But even those 5-14 games all played out almost exactly along seeding lines, with the only exception being UMass over Massap. Over LaSalle.
LaSalle had an opportunity, right, to win
and
that
LaSalle
game.
Had an opportunity to win the game, and at the end of the day, that's the 12-13 matchup, so who fucking cares? But
Damn,
Pete. Wow, Petey coming in hot.
This went from TVG to TVMA.
Yeah, so let's move on to the next game. Today was two games. If you're a Mason fan listening and you didn't come today.
A Mason fan is not listening. They barely showed up to the Mason game, let alone listening to this.
But there was a good amount
I'm calling you out, Mason Nation.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going
to
say.
And we did. And a couple students actually reached out to us. Well, we have class. I'm like, you know what? Our photographer has class.
I think that was
in jest.
And
that man was here all day long.
Right.
So,
well, I think they were joking.
You know what? I had work. Did you have work?
Yeah. I took off.
So, I mean, you know, there's no excuses. But today, back-to-back games, you don't really get a break in between, which I thought was kind of nubby because if you're pressed and you're covering the 8-10, the whole tournament, you didn't really get much time.
The game actually started during Phil Martelli's presser. Sorry, the Bonaventure-Davidson game started while Phil Martelli was still talking.
It's kind of ridiculous. What's the rush?
Right.
What's the rush?
Right.
Slow it down. Start at 6.
Yeah, I know. It's two games.
It's just what they do. I think, you know, I think the ACC does it. I think the ACC is even worse. They schedule games every two hours, not even every 2.5 hours.
So
I don't know if anybody does it well.
The championship, though, is tomorrow at, like, noon. So I guess I get it now. But either way, let's go into the Davidson game. They started out shooting hot. It almost looked as if, you know, it was a close game at times, but it just never felt like St. Bonaventure could really win it just because Davidson was shooting lights out. I think their first 14 shots were all threes.
Yep. I totally agree with that it never felt like Bonaventure was really going to win. Davidson looks absolutely terrifying, and I think that Rhode Island's in some trouble tomorrow. Davidson, their first 14 shots were threes. We asked them about it in the presser. They said it was just more an example of taking what the defense gave them.
Yeah.
They always try to go inside out, which they do. And Peyton Aldridge said he thought they were getting into the paint pretty well, but when they got into the paint, the Bonaventure was defending the paint, and it meant that guys on the perimeter were open. So to be fair to Bonaventure, they were missing a couple key players today. Courtney Stockard was out. He pulled his hamstring yesterday, I think. Josh Ayeni, who's been getting – his usage has been sort of all over the place this season, but he went down at halftime. So they had to use Amadi Ekpeazi, their backup big man, for almost the entire second half, and there was a stretch where he sat for a few minutes, but then their backup big man, Shefu something, he's got a last name that's like 14 letters long that I'm not even going to try to pronounce, but – he came in for two or three possessions, right, and Davidson scored on every single one of them.
I think one other thing to note, this was also a matchup of the two MVPs. Peyton Aldridge looked phenomenal. Even, you know, last night he was just killer from downtown. He's just making all of his threes this tournament. But Jalen Adams was off last night, off today, even though I think he had like a decent point total. He just wasn't like terribly efficient. He wasn't clutch. Some, you know, stupid turnovers. I just thought that, you know, when it comes to the battle of the MVPs, that Peyton Aldridge really excelled, and, right, and he could ultimately be, you know, tournament MVP if things go right for Davidson tomorrow, right?
Peyton Aldridge will absolutely be the tournament MVP if Davidson wins tomorrow. I don't, unless Kellen Grady goes nuclear, I don't see any way around that.
Right.
But Peyton Aldridge was 6-for-6 from three last night. He was 6-for-7 from three today.
That's insane.
He's like shoot more almost, right? I mean, right, if you're that efficient, just chuck it up 10 times, see what happens.
So Davidson took 50 shots from the field today, 29 of them were from three. This is a team that just absolutely does not care about any sort of old school traditional, you know, got to pound it in the post kind of basketball presence. They will shoot and they will shoot and they will shoot and they will just keep shooting.
And the sick part is that Aldridge can score in the paint. So, like, if you want to put him there, he can give you some post moves.
Yeah, so some teams shoot because they can't work the ball into the paint, right? But Davidson doesn't have that problem. Davidson basically just goes the opposite way, where they never have anybody on the floor who's not a threat to hit threes. I think Will McGarity hit a three today. Oscar Mickelson hit a couple threes today.
Rusty.
our boy Rusty Rudy Regal.
And just when you pull him out,
a few threes today.
When you pull your defense out to guard the three, they'll hit you with the backdoor cut. It's pretty.
Yeah.
Much
how many open looks have we seen from Davidson from right underneath the rim where they just have easy layups?
Their offense is just
insane.
Is just gorgeous. You gotta watch them off the ball because there's always two or three screens being set away from the ball handler, and it's just. There's just always somebody open, and on the rare occasion where they don't generate a good look, they have guys who are good enough individual creators in Peyton Aldridge and Kellen Grady to bail them out, but that almost never happens. It happened a couple times in the St. Louis game. I don't think it happened at all today. If it did, I didn't see it. But yeah, like Jesus, they look scary right now. Not only could they beat Rhode Island tomorrow, and I hope they do so that the conference gets three bids, they might. I don't want to call him a Sweet 16 game, but nobody's going to want to play him.
Right. And I think one thing that if Davidson wants to sort of stand a chance versus Rhode Island, I think they do need a few more fans up there to really build off the momentum and energy. I think it's going to be, you know, a little bit of an uphill battle if Rhode Island kind of brings that same fan base. But what are the predictions for tomorrow? Like, what are we honestly thinking? Rhode Island's a little bit more athletic, but Davidson just spreads the court, and they've just played such a smart game, and they've been shooting lights out. You know, can that hold up tomorrow? What's your prediction?
So Rhode Island's mostly man, and the interesting thing about that is that they like to keep Andre Berry or Ciro Langevin in the paint as much as they can to protect the rim, but they're not going to be able to do that against Davidson because, again, either Oscar Mickelson or Will McGarity is going to be on the floor, and those guys can step out and hit threes. I think they combined for 4-for-9 from three today. Mm-hmm. So when you have big men like that that you have to guard out to the perimeter, it just creates all sorts of driving space for your team. And the other thing is that Davidson also plays a pretty similar zone to St. Joe's, and that really flummoxed Rhode Island today. It took them a while to get going. Obviously, they scored a ton of points, but it looked like St. Joe's was being effective enough to win today. I think that Davidson probably wins tomorrow.
Wow.
Just because they're shooting so freaking well from three. They shot 16 of 29 from three today. I forget what they shot against St. Louis, but it was also a great number. So I don't know. Rhode Island's obviously a great team. They haven't been playing as well recently as they played earlier in the season. I think they're a little bit vulnerable. And also, Rhode Island's comfortably in the tournament, so I don't know if they come out with the same edge that Davidson's going to come with.
One question, though, if you are projecting a win, and if they do beat a good Rhode Island team, mm-hmm. what type of seed are they looking at if they were to qualify? Well, I mean, they would qualify, but I'm just saying, would they be because they would then have like some decent wins?
Be a bracketologist.
I mean, you could go, not a 10 seed, but they're not going to fall as high as a 12, Right?
So,
that would place him with what, 21 wins?
It's a question I haven't really thought about. My guess would be between the 10 and 12 line. I don't think they would go much higher than that. I can't see a team that's this hot, a team
beating Bonaventure and Rhode Island back to back days. I think that would get.
And they also just beat Rhode Island in the regular season as well. So they would have a win over Bonaventure. They would actually have two wins over Bonaventure, and they would have two wins over Rhode Island. Probably between 10 and 12, they might sneak up to a 9. I don't think I see them that high. I would say it would be between 10 and 12. If you're a 4 seed and you get Davidson as a 13 seed, you're pissed about that because this is a much better basketball team than that.
So I don't even think we're going to get this far because I think Rhode Island is going to handle Davidson.
Okay.
Whoa.
Let's hear it.
And this is why.
Yeah.
Davidson's clearly going to cool off a little bit.
That's my thought. Too.
And yeah. I think
they have to.
I would argue that, for everything Davidson's good at, I really think that the bench of Rhode Island is almost what won them the game today, and definitely helped them win at BC or versus VCU yesterday. So I think that we're gonna see kind of just Rhode Island kind of beat them up in the paint. And then I also like Fats Russell. That kid came off and
hell
like,
of a name.
He was instant buckets. Like no matter what, he was looking to shoot. He had no other motive but to put the ball in the bucket. And I just think the size is just, they're just too aggressive of a team. And eventually, like today that we saw, they're just going to wear you down. I think eventually they wore VCU down. And
I think
they got
though,
too much firepower.
If Rhode Island wants to have like a successful tournament, like tournament run or any type of momentum, they do need to win tomorrow. I think if you go in with another loss, I would see this whole tournament sort of them floundering a little bit.
They did lose two coming into the tournament as well.
They lost 3 of 5 coming into the tournament. So if they lose tomorrow, then they're what, 5-3, I think, in their last 8.
And you almost have to start thinking about putting them on like a 9 or an 8 or 9 seed. I mean, granted, they made the championship, but I mean,
one of these teams is going to have to get a play-in game. Right, like at that 12.
One of the 6-11 playing games or the 5-12 playing games.
You can't just put three comfortably into the tournament. I think we'll find out. Jones, you're the only one that didn't make a prediction.
I really like Rhode Island. I just don't think Davidson can shoot this well for 3 straight games in a row. But I do think it'll be really competitive. I think it'll go down to the wire. I do think it's going to be a great matchup. I think it's what's best for the conference. And I think, ultimately we're going to get 2 teams in, and that's that. I mean,
St. Bonaventure just didn't look that good to me. They look kind of hurt.
They were hurt.
I really don't see them making much of a splash in the tournament. So I would like to see three teams get in there.
They need Courtney Stockard back. With Courtney Stockard, they can go small, and they couldn't go small today. I think I asked Schmidt about it in the presser. He kind of gave me a non-answer. He said that they weren't small when they put that guy Sheffu in. It's just that he's 6'6", so he's a smaller big man. So whatever. But
you basically said they had nothing else.
The Bonnies have a viable small lineup when they have Courtney Stockard because they can play him at the 4 and they can put Ladarian Griffin at the 5. Ladarian Griffin chases Peyton Aldridge around as well as anybody can do. Peyton Aldridge is one of those guys. He's gonna get his. There's only so much he can do to defend him. So they have the personnel to match up with Davidson. They just weren't healthy today. They need. I think tournament games start what, Wednesday or Thursday. So
yeah, so they have a few days of rest.
He's got a few days to rest up, and they absolutely need him healthy if they're gonna make any noise.
I mean, I think that's about it. I mean,
One thing I want to add is that Hurley.
He's always got facts.
I've always got more stuff, and now they let me into the pressers, so I've got more stuff to talk about. But Hurley did talk about how St. Joe's sort of inverts your defense because they pull your big men out to the perimeter, and then they create room for their guards to go inside. And Davidson does that exact same thing. They just do it better than St. Joe's does. So I think that, Andre Berry leaving the paint, Cyril Langevin can leave the paint better than Andre Berry can. Neither is optimal for Rhode Island, though, because they do play some pretty small guards, Fats Russell and Jarvis Garrett, great offensive players, but they're both pretty short, and they can both get picked on defensively. And, Davidson just does such a great job of exploiting those sorts of mismatches. I think it'll be a great game. I think Davidson wins, and I hope Davidson wins so that the conference gets three. But, it's going to be awesome.
Well, there you have it. Pete loves Davidson.
Yeah.
Davidson.
I love Davidson and Phil Martelli.
What about Mason?
Mason basketball.
Yesterday wasn't too enjoyable, I got to be honest.
Right, that was a bad day.
But what else?
We're moving on.
Yeah. Cap One.
Capital One Center. They're going through $40 million of renovation. They need it because the lights are bad. The seats are bad.
They got no heat.
I feel like I'm at a random frat house like back in college that,
And not only that, but the food has been terrible. In our last two A-10 experiences, the food was good.
It was regional.
They had Pittsburghers or whatever those are called.
Yeah, all the famous, regional types of food. And here we're getting grilled chicken almost every day.
Today was an awkward
chicken and noodles every single day.
Fried Jesus chicken Christ. With marinara sauce for the second time. And I did pound it, but it's just come on, Cap One, throw something a little bit better. So
also, if it's 8:30 and you're locking up the bottled water, really? Can I get a bottle of water?
Or a Mountain Dew?
You can't serve me all this popcorn and then not expect me to need a water.
I know my lips are I gotta smack them just to create some sort of saliva after that popcorn. And you know what? I don't even think they pop that popcorn in that thing. I think they pour bags in because when you look in it, there's no popper on top. I think they're just bringing in like
trash movie. Bags of popcorn.
Yeah. Dumping that in and pretending because it's so
well they
yellow.
fooled me.
It didn't fool me because I'm I'm dehydrated after eating that popcorn.
Who cares? It's delicious.
Any other hot takes from the arena or the experience itself?
It smells really bad in that press room.
Well, it's not really a press room, it's a practice,
right? And it smells like a bunch of men have been in there. But other than that, you
A-10. Take a look around. It's essentially a bunch of dudes.
If anyone from the A-10 is listening,
they aren't.
thank you so much for the credentials. Again, this is the most people that we've taken to the tournament. I hope this continues. I hope you like our content.
It's been awesome. I've loved it. Yeah.
Follow us on GiantKiller.co. We will be live blogging again tomorrow.
Guys, championship.
Hell yeah.
Stay tuned.
WASHING. Washington, D.C., it's the greatest place to be. It's not the cherries everywhere in blue. It's not the way they put folks on the moon. No, no, no. It's not the spectacles and pageantry, the thousand things you've got to see. It's just that's where my baby waits for me. Keeps me coming back. It's my baby's kiss. keeps me.